okay.
They come.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. Last week we talked about various practices of the month of Elul. We spoke mostly about saying Slichot. We spoke a little bit about Shofar, mostly about Slichot. That was last week. Today we're going to talk about various customs of Erev Rosh Hashanah. Hopefully we'll touch on most, if not all, the customs of Erev Rosh Hashanah. Next week, God willing, we will speak about Shofar. Various halachot and other things in Shofar, in the midst of Tikiyat Shofar. And then hopefully the week after that, if my calendar is correct, the week after that we'll have a shir before Yom Kippur, so we'll speak about something, a halachic topic, something related to Yom Kippur.
Okay.
So that'll be, and then I think from there we go to a few weeks. The week after that is already Sukkot, so then we'll be on a few week break. So that's just the next few weeks. Today we have various minhagim of Erev Rosh Hashanah. So just to start off, to give us a good introduction to the topic. So from Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, I think this is from, I don't know if they still do it, but they used to give out weekly packets with his like shiurim and halachot, and I haven't seen them in already a few years. Even after he passed away, I think one of his sons was doing it, but I just haven't seen them. So a lot of them are online. So from one of his halachot packets, he writes in the first source, Erev Rosh Hashanah hu Yom Ha'acharon Bashanah. Right? We're just trying to frame ourselves here for what's going on Erev Rosh Hashanah. It is the last day of the year. V'hizdamnut achrona lasot tshuva lifnei Yom Hadin. And it's our last opportunity to do tshuva before Yom Hadin, before Rosh Hashanah. Zehu Yom Shel Cheshbon Nefesh al Shana Shel Chofa. It's a day of, I guess, introspection. I don't know if there's a different way to translate Cheshbon Nefesh, but it's a day of looking inwards, introspection from the past year, for the year that's about to be changed. V'yom shel hachanot l'shana hachadasha. So it's this interesting point where it's our last day of the previous year, and it's also the day that we can prepare for the upcoming year. Dine yom zeh shonim mikol yimei chodesh Elul. So the halachot of Erev Rosh Hashanah are different than the rest of Elul. We're going to see some of the differences as we go along here. V'rabim nagim, so he tells us two things that we're going to spend time talking about this morning. We'll talk about other things also. But v'rabim nagim latsumbo, so the first difference on Erev Rosh Hashanah, at least, is that there's a minhag to fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah. We're gonna talk about that. And has anybody ever heard of that before? You've heard?
To fast
on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Erev Rosh Hashanah, yes, there's a minhag to fast. Okay, so there's a minhag to fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah. We'll talk about that. It seems that it is not so wide known, and it's not so followed nowadays, and we'll even have reasons from some of the contemporary authorities
only
on that.
For the firstborn?
No. Erev Rosh Hashanah would be for everybody.
Oh.
So that's we're gonna talk about that. No, probably not. Most the poskim will say not all day. Some part of the day, either till mincha or till chatzot or till mincha or till later on in the afternoon. Probably not until we'll talk more about that. So the first difference is that he notes is that people fast. The second thing that he notes is that v'lalechet lipalel al kivrei tzadikim ula yirachim Hashem bizchutam. The second minhag, there's a minhag to go to daven in the graves of tzadikim. I think that has now, we'll see this as we go through some of the sources. I think that people generally, do people go to Kivrei Tzadikim? I was under the impression that a lot of people go to if their parents or somebody, a relative or something, is no longer alive, that people go to that kever. I don't know if it's necessarily a Kivrei Tzadikim, but he says here Kivrei Tzadikim. So this is the first halacha. Thank you. The second thing he tells us is, keeping up with the first halacha, is Ba'erev Rosh Hashanah Yasok B'Torah V'Mitzvah B'Tshuva. Right, an Erev Rosh Hashanah, it's a very good day, right? It's the last day, the day of introspection, the last day of the previous year, the day to prepare for the next year. So it's a good day to learn Torah, to do get involved in mitzvot, to do tshuva. V'yaktim l'vakesh mechila mechaveirav amash avar paga bahem v'lo yamtin ad Erev Yom HaKippurim. And it's even good to start asking people for mechila on Erev Rosh Hashanah, right? Don't wait till the last moment. Don't wait. You don't have to wait till the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. You don't have to wait till Erev Yom Kippur. Already on Erev Rosh Hashanah, we're preparing for our next year. So it's a very good thing to go into that year already being forgiven and starting the process of seeking forgiveness from our friends. So this was just our introduction, the framework of the last day of the previous year, the first day of the to get prepared for the next year. The first practice we're going to talk about here is the practice of fasting. have a few sources on this, the practice of to fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah. So from the Penine Halacha in source 2, he tells us, Rabbi Nagu Latsum Ba'erev Rosh Hashanah. So there is a minhag of many people to fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah, L'shem Kabbalat Yisurim Al Havonot, as a way of getting afflictions for various sins. It's part of kaparo, podrim otome aonshim achamurim sheidchayvam bavonotav, and it's a way of getting atonement for sins. Vechenu legabe taniyot tzibur, the same thing for a lot of other fast days. Hatzomo mecharim alavonot upodrim et tzibur meyonsham. The fast days help us get atonement. I was looking this morning, and I think from the Rambam, it sounds like the fasting also helps us put our focus on getting atonement. It's not that the fastness always, or maybe slightly different, I don't know if it's the exact same thing, it sounded to me to be a little bit different. It's not necessarily the fast is what gets you your atonement, the fast also inspires you to do tshuva. This is how I think that's how the Rambam phrases it in Hilchot Taneh Perek Hei, that he says that there's bad things that happen and we have to fast so that we are inspired to do tshuva. So I don't know if it's about taking our focus off of other things, and focusing on davening, or focusing on introspection, but so those are two different ways of understanding a fast. So, but on Erev Rosh Hashanah, both are good. Both are the day of introspection, so it's good to fast to inspire you to do tshuva. And it's a day that that we're going into a new year. We want to get atonement for our sins. So the Penine Halacha quotes a very, very nice medrash in source 2. It's starting in paragraph 2 here. I think I've seen this medrash quoted slightly differently also. But he quotes Amru Chachamim, Mashal Mahadavar Dome, Lemedina Shaita Chayevet Mas Gadol Lamelech. So there was some type of state that had to pay a big tax to the king. Vahaya Melech Meshalech Shlichim Ligavoto, Veloya Meshalemet Mibnei Shaya Chova Gadol. So the king kept sending people to go collect the tax dollars, and the people couldn't pay it. It was too much money. They couldn't afford it. So what happens? Ma Asa HaMelech. Omar lifnei palterin shalov utzvao. So the king says to his royal court and his army, imdu v'neilech aleim. Let's get up. We have to go march on them. We have to go collect. We have to go collect the money that they owe us. Ah, chayu holchim kemos armili. And so that what happens? The whole army starts walking, starts marching on this city or this town, this province. So shamu bnei hamedina upachadu. So then the people hear that they hear the soldiers are coming. They know that they're coming to collect the money. They start to get very scared. So ma'asu. So what do? Hichilu gedolei hamedina latzeit likrat hamelach. So the leaders go out to greet the king. Amar lahem miatem. So he says, who are you? They say bnei medina plonit anu sheshalachta ligavotenu, that we're part of the city that you're coming to collect from us. Amar lahem umatem evakshim. So now the king says, so what do you want from me? Amru lo bivakasha mimcha asei imanu chesed she'ein lanu malitain. They say, you should know, we don't have any money, we don't have anything to give you. Please do us a chesed. Do us a big, big favor here, and don't come to attack us or to take our money. We can't afford it. Amar lahem, so the king says to them now, Bishvilchem ani meniach lachem shlish. He says, okay, I'll be a nice guy, deduct a third from it, I understand that you don't have any money, you came out here to beg me, I take off a third. So now, what's going to happen? Achehit karev la'ir, now the king gets closer. Yatzu likrato beinoni hamedina. So then the next group of people come out, and they say that the same thing happens. They go through the same thing. Who are you? They say, we're this from the city. Well, you're coming to collect from us. We can't pay it. We beg you, we beseech you to have mercy on us. The king says, okay, I'll take off another third. But the king continues going until the last group of people come out, and the same thing happens. So the king says, what do you want? And they say, Adoneinu HaMelech, Ein Lanu Koch Litein Ma'ashanu Chayvim. We cannot do it. And then he niach lahem hakol. So now he says, okay, now I don't know you. You don't owe me anything anymore. So now, what's the mashal? Hamelach zeh melach machay melach hamakadosh baruch hu yibarach vidal shmo. So the king in this mashal is Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Bnei hamedina elu Yisrael sheim misaglim avonot kol yimot hashana. So the people here are the Jewish people, and everybody has sins. You have sins for the whole year. Ma Hakadosh Baruch Hu osa. So what is Hakadosh Baruch Hu is the melach? So what's he doing? He's kind of kivyachol. He's marching on the people, saying, "You owe me. You did all these sins. You owe me." So the people say that. So Hashem says to them, "Asu tshuva me Rosh Hashanah." So Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, "You can do tshuva." So what do the people do? Erev Rosh Hashanah, gidolei hador midanim. On Erev Rosh Hashanah, certain people like in the story, it was the leaders. Certain people, not everybody, I guess this was going to be possibly a source for why it's not a widespread practice to fast. It's only individuals who feel that it's a good idea to fast. The people come and fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah, and that takes off a third of what the king was coming to collect. Then, from Rosh Hashanah until Yom Kippur, the Aser Yemei Tshuva, we noted last week that the minhag was to fast 10 days even, and four of which you couldn't fast, which is why we say Slicho 4 days before Rosh Hashanah to correspond to those 4 days that you weren't allowed to fast both days of Rosh Hashanah and Shabbat Shuvah and Erev Yom Kippur. That's one of the minimum to Slicho is four days. The Mishnah Berurah points out two reasons for this, like we noted this last week. One is that because, even I think from the Ramah, it sounds like fasting and Slichot went hand in hand. So you're supposed to have 10 days of, the Aser Yemei Tshuva, you can't fast for four of them. So we bump those Slichot up 4 days before. And then the Mishnah Berurah says, and we always want to start on the same day. We don't want it to be confusing. So we start on Motzei Shabbos. That's one reason. The other reason is that they would inspect the Korban for 4 days for a mum, for a blemish, before we bring it. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes that it says, I forget the pasuk. By all the korbanot, it says v'hikraftem ola by all the other holidays, but by Rosh Hashanah it says v'asitem ola, that you should make yourself into an ola offering. Quotes the Mishnah Berurah. So you make yourself into the ola, you want 4 days to inspect yourself before you become the ola offering on Rosh Hashanah. That's his. That's what we saw last week from the Mishnah Berurah quotes that. So back to our mashal. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah for a third, then we fast on the Aser Yemei Tshuva for the next third, then we fast on Yom Kippur for that final third of Tshuva, of Kapara. And he quotes here, and that's when we get on Yom Kippur. By Yom Hazeh Yichaper Aleichem L'Tayrechem Mikoch HaToteichem Lifnei Hashem Titaru. So this is the Medrash. And then the next paragraph, he even notes that Kevan Sha'amru Chachamim Sha'atzom Shelifnei Rosh Hashanah Mo'il Me'od, right, we see from this Medrash that this fast accomplishes a lot, takes off a third of, gets a third of the tshuva. So therefore, Nahogu Rov Yisrael B'mei HaRishonim Latzumbo, there was a minhag to fast, V'chein Katov V'Shulchan Aruch, Nahogim L'hit'anot Erev Rosh Hashanah, the Shulchan Aruch quotes, it is an old minhag to fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah. But then he says, you should know that it's not like, Omnam Tzom Ze'eno Chomu Ketzomo Chanu Tzomim V'zecher HaChorban, it's not like the other fast days on the calendar. V'lachein Rabim Nagu Latzumbo Ad Chatzot Hayom Oad Plag HaMincha, a lot of people fast only until Chatzot, or until Plag HaMincha. V'chol open nagu shalola tumat sof hayom kedei shelo yikantu lecha kishem meonim. You should not fast. He says up till Rosh Hashanah. It's not good to enter into Rosh Hashanah when you're in a state of affliction. On that point, I saw a very interesting. So in the Sefer Mikra Kodesh, it's written by Rav Moshe Harari, who's I believe he's a rav in a Merkaz Harav. He has a lot of very nice halachas for him. And one of the things that he has, the way that it's set forth, is that he has on the top the short summary, and in the bottom he has extensive footnotes that often have his conversations with the Gedolei Hador, where he'll say, I asked the same question, and he'll say, I asked this Gadol, and this is what he told me, I asked this one, and he was learning in Merkaz for a long time, he had access to a lot of, has access to a lot of the Gedolim. So I'm pretty sure it's Rav Mordechai Eliyahu that he quotes, who's not such a fan of fasting on Erev Rosh Hashanah, and he says, even if somebody is going to fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah, it probably better to not fast all the way until Rosh Hashanah. He quotes two interesting reasons. One is that Rosh Hashanah, like we said from the first source, the beginning of the year, you want it to have a good davening. Your davening is not going to be good on your first marv of the whole year. It's not going to be so good if you didn't eat all day. And the second reason is very interesting. It says a lot of time people who are fasting, you get cranky, you get grouchy, you're angry. And you're going to lose out. Everything you gain from fasting all day, you're going to lose out because on that night, the night of Rosh Hashanah, you're going to be in a bad mood and you're going to be angry. So based on this, it seems that if somebody wants to, it's a good idea to fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah. I think he also quotes in here somewhere, it's not something, you know, you should put a sign on your back, hey, everybody, I'm fasting, but it's a good idea to fast if somebody could, if you physically can't, that's a different story, but if you could, it seems like it's a good idea to fast until Chatzot, or until early Mincha, or something along those lines, it would seem to be a good idea to fast. to fast based on these sources. And then we skip to the last paragraph in the Panini Halacha, and source 2, he already tells us that people aren't doing this. B'dorot ha'acharonim nitmatu ma'od ha'nashim shenogim b'minhagei ha'taniyot v'afilu be'erev Rosh Hashanah rov Yisrael einam nogim latzumi. He says that it's really the common minhag nowadays is not to fast. A lot of people don't do it. Yesh sovrim, why not? Yesh sovrim sheyarda chul shala olam. So some people say that just people nowadays are weaker, people are more delicate, it's harder for people to fast. Right? We shouldn't be demanding, telling everybody to fast for if it's a min chasidu, if it's gonna hurt them, they're not gonna be able to do it. And then, very interesting, he quotes, "V'gedolei tenuat hachasidut savru she'ikar avod b'dor talalu tzricha liyo b'simcha." So the gedolim of the chasidut movement, they say that nowadays we're supposed to serve Hakadosh Baruch Hu b'simcha, not b'yira, b'simcha, and therefore you should hold back if there's a minhag that's going to take away from simcha, like an extra fast day. They would pine not to add an extra fast day; it's going to get in the way of serving Hakadosh Baruch Hu b'simcha. So if you feel makes sense for you, or you're in that group,
it's very hard to do this. You know, the thing is, the wife is preparing all the festive foods for the young children, and plus she's getting all the red. You may have gained the first fruits of the year. You know how we
right.
say the special bracha
right.
and everything. So the thing is, extremely joyous day, even before. I don't know how you can fast with all that stuff.
So we're going to talk about, somewhere along the way here, we'll talk about the nature of Rosh Hashanah. It's
baked apple pie.
Yeah, it's a joyful day, at the same time it's a serious day, which might be the same thing as, we'll see that actually in a few other sources also, we'll see getting haircuts and stuff like that, Erev Chag, we'll see that. So then he says at the end that if somebody wants to do it, if somebody wants to fast, but it's difficult for you, you're not able to do it, he suggests giving some type of tzedakah, either how much you would pay not to fast for a day. I don't know. Again, it's hard to, how much you would pay not to fast for a day, or I guess maybe how much, maybe conversely, this isn't what he says, but I don't, if somebody said to you, I'll pay you X amount of money to fast, how much would you take to fast? Maybe that, for me, that's an easier way to understand it. Or to how much food, the value of the food that you're going to eat, something connected to fasting and eating, you can give that money to tzedakah as a way of getting some type of atonement or accomplishing something similar to fasting. And Rav Mordechai Eliyahu says this also in the next source. He points out the same thing, that that there's a minhag to fast, but at the end he's very clear that if misha choshesh etani tazik oshaya yechalash be'erev Rosh Hashanah lo yitane. If you have any concern whatsoever, you're going to feel very weak, or you're not going to be able to Avram was just saying, in the night of Rosh Hashanah, you have your apples and honey, you have your new fruit, it's a chag. If any concern, because it's not such a, it's not an established fast on a calendar, there's a lot of room here to be lenient, but it's a good idea. That's our fast discussion. There's actually something I was looking and I couldn't find it, but I think that I heard of it somewhere, saw it somewhere a few years ago. And this is going to come back to what Avram said a few minutes ago also. There's an interesting discussion about fasting on Rosh Hashanah itself. The Shulchan Aruch says that one should not, that Rosh Hashanah, I should take it off the shelf, but he says that Rosh Hashanah is a day of Achila, Vishtiya, Vesimcha, the Shulchan Aruch says that, and therefore he says, we don't fast on Rosh Hashanah, and the Ramban, two seasons later, quotes that there are some who say that to fast on Rosh Hashanah. So it was an interesting question.
When there are those who say to fast on Rosh Hashanah?
Here.
With all that goodies going on?
We always had guys complain.
Yesh Omrim de mitzvah lehitano ber Rosh Hashanah. The Rama quotes a Yesh Omrim, I think it's the Trumat Hadeshen, who says that there is in fact a mitzvah to fast on Rosh Hashanah. I think that nobody does, and I don't think that this is accepted. The Mishnah Berurah does not say to do that.
I thought there was something specifically that you shouldn't be fasting on Rosh Hashanah, because I remember davening always runs
I was thinking of speaking, maybe next week we'll speak about the Kiddush or eating something before Shofar. I was thinking about doing that, speaking about that possibly next week. There's opinions all over, across the spectrum, on the fasting before shofar, or eating, and chatzot, and the whole thing.
And people go for tach.
I think people, some posts can point out that it's much less of an issue based on the fact that there's a shita, that there are makwots, that there is a mitzvah, so there's possibly not a problem even with fasting until chatzot. So the Shulchan Aruch, says, where is it here? Ochlim v'shotim usmechem ve'ein mit'anim b'Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah seems to be a day of, on the one hand, simcha. It's a big machlokas achronin. You can find a lot of contemporary achronin who write about whether there is in fact a full fledged mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Hashanah, or whether it's tapered off a little bit. It seems like it's a bit of a mix. Rosh Hashanah is a bit of a mix, but I saw something years ago that suggested that because of this whole issue of Rosh Hashanah, of being the Yom HaDin, a very serious day, but a day of Simcha too, maybe we should fast for the Yom HaDin. We can't fast for the Yom HaSimcha, so what should we do? We should fast the day before. I'm almost certain that I saw that somewhere. That it's taking the fact that we can't fast on Rosh Hashanah, but acknowledging that it's the Yom HaDin and maybe we should be fasting on Rosh Hashanah and fasting the day before in anticipation of Rosh Hashanah. But if you assume like that, it possibly even makes sense to fast the whole day. There are also some contemporary poskim that say you should fast the whole day. But if we're assuming that we're fasting, to me it seems that it's very easy to see the balance of the whole approach. You fast the day before because you can't fast on Rosh Hashanah, but you can't go into Rosh Hashanah being very hungry. Then you're going to have a lousy night. You're not gonna the Rav Mordechai Leo, the being angry. You're going. You want to have a good davening, your first davening. So it's a good idea to fast until.
It's good incentive, based on the midrash.
Yeah. So we should point out that also the postgame talk about in general, if you're just fasting, but you're not doing anything along with the fast, based on the Rambam, that the fast is supposed to inspire you to do more. You're just assuming like the Pnei Halacha quoted that the fast is an element of kapar in and of itself, then yeah. But it very much goes hand in hand with the Rav Mordechai Eliyahu that it's a good day of Rav Hashanah to do Torah mitzvot, get involved in the mitzvot of the day of.
What about
what are you going to do then? I will skip. Hold on. We'll skip. Yeah.
What did they do? Kafaris? And the other one is with
Yom Kippur.
Right.
Before Yom Kippur?
Yeah. Right.
They don't do it on Rosh Hashanah, do they?
No.
In between.
We'll talk. Yeah. I guess we'll have to figure out what to talk about. But even to keep involved in mitzvot, if we skip to source 12 for a second, we'll come back to this. But I found this to be interesting. On Rosh Hashanah or you can do it after Rosh Hashanah also.
Oh, you could too. See, there's so many things to do. That's why I'm saying.
How
in the world are you going to fast all these things to do?
The Shulchan Aruch quotes some interesting things on fasting. There are some fasts that you should. I think a ton of chalom, if you have like a very bad dream, you wanted to have a fast, that you could, I believe, do on Rosh Hashanah. But then he quotes, if you fast on Rosh Hashanah, then it's kind of like you were makabala upon yourself to always fast for Rosh Hashanah. And he says to here that if somebody usually fasts on Rosh Hashanah and they don't fast 1 year, then Einu mashlim shnato. The person's not gonna last through the year for that one. I think the postgame on this talk about if you do Hatar Nadarim or something like that, that probably would help. But yeah, there certainly were places like the Shulchan Aruch himself quotes Yesh Makomo that fasted on Rosh Hashanah. Yeah.
When he says fast on Rosh Hashanah, is that both days?
Yeah, he says if you're
Oh yeah.
One day?
I think so, yeah. I think he says if you fast once for 1 day, then you have to fast for 2 days.
48 hours. We didn't have it.
But sometimes, I think the post can say if eating at night would...
I think
you'd be eating the night of Rosh Hashanah and then the next day fasting, something along those lines. I think I saw that. But if we look in Source 12, the Pnei Halacha tells us, Noagim lahadir b'hachana tavshile Rosh Hashanah. It's good on Erev Rosh Hashanah to help prepare for food, like we were talking about. It's a good activity to do that day. V'yesh bazeh siman tov l'chol hashanah she'tiyah tova v'dashna. Right. Preparing for Rosh Hashanah, cooking, getting ready for Rosh Hashanah is a siman tov to have a year that's good and that's fresh. And then he says, and there was a minhag always to do a lot of shechit on Erev Rosh Hashanah because it's all about preparing for the food. It's a siman tov for having abundance for the following year. So this is just one of the Erev Rosh Hashanah things that there's. You're right. There's a lot to do on Erev Rosh Hashanah. So if you could do it while fasting, then. Then exactly, then even better. So this was the fasting. Any questions or anything?
It's very difficult. Yes, I could see that. But so, and if what you... about all these different things that we have to prepare ourselves with? Don't we take haircuts?
Yeah, we'll talk. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that.
The thing is, I'd like to know if you're going to go and not only get a shower, but also put on your festive clothes and get a haircut. How can you think of fasting when you are priming, you're priming yourself, whatever?
So it depends. It depends on how good of a faster you are. It depends on how...
You know what I mean? One does just the opposite.
It depends on. It depends on if you can do... if you can fast until Chatzot.
You know, depends what I mean. On it. You can understand.
Yeah, when I was in the Wayukola in Toronto, when we had morning seder for Rosh Hashanah, so I remember not fasting. I was just didn't see how I was going to make it through all morning without having having some coffee. But in other years, where even you could run around knowing just that at whatever time Chatzot is, 12:30 or 12:40, you can make it till then. It depends if you davened at 8 o'clock, so it's, you know, also if you davened, if you got up and davened vatikin, you're going to be hungry. It depends. Oh, yeah. This is very personal, very subjective. Uh-huh. I think that's even what, in the Mikra Kodesh, he quotes in from one of the contemporary Gedolim, who talks about how, just it's a very, very subjective fasting on Erev Rosh Hashanah. It's going to depend on how you feel, lots and lots of issues and factors. So this is one minhag of Erev Rosh Hashanah. Next, we're going to talk about, four or five more. The Shulchan Aruch in Source 4 tells us, Ein noflim al pneim be'erev Rosh Hashanah b'tfila, af al pi shen noflim al pneim b'ashmorat b'slichot. We do not say tachanun on Erev Rosh Hashanah, even though we said tachanun at the end of slichos, top of page 2, in source 4. So we don't say tachanun. The Mishnah Berurah points out, because like on Erev Yontiv we don't say tachanun, which tells us that there's something, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes in a few other places also, that there is an element of yontif for Rosh Hashanah. Right? Rosh Hashanah is the middle category of is it a full fledged yontif? Is there a mitzvah of simcha on it? Like we talked about a few minutes ago, some of the Acharonim make a diuk from the Rambam that the Rambam says that days of simcha, and he says like Sukkis and Pesach v'Sha'ar Yomim Tovim. So Sha'ar Yomim Tovim means other yomtovs, but in plural. So there are Acharon, Rav Asher Weiss makes this deal that on Erev, that Rosh Hashanah, that what does the Rambam mean, Shar Yomim Tovim? If he only meant Shavuos, he would have just said, right, Pesach, Sukkis, and Shavuos. But he doesn't. He says Pesach and Shar Yomim Tovim, that the Rambam includes Rosh Hashanah into the mitzvah of Simcha. That's the diuk from the Rambam. And then Rav Asher Weiss continues about whether Yom Kippur also has a mitzvah of Simcha. That's the rest of his piece. He says it's much easier to understand Rosh Hashanah having a din of a chag. We say Tikkun B'Achar, Mishnah Berurah quotes, Tikkun B'Achar Shofar, B'Kesel L'Yom Chageinu. Chageinu there is Rosh Hashanah. It's a chag. So this also highlights the fact that Rosh Hashanah is Erev Chag, but it's also a Yom Hadin. It's a confusing, it's a complicated day. And the Mishnah Berurah then continues, Mechabsin U'Mistaprin B'Erev Rosh Hashanah, right, that you should get haircut and shave on Erev Rosh Hashanah, and do your laundry. And the Rama adds, V'yesh Nogin Litbo B'Erev Rosh Hashanah. We're going to talk more in detail about most of these. The Rama adds in Source 4, that this is from Siman Tavkuf Pei Aleph, that there's a minhag to go to the mikvah on Erev Rosh Hashanah, Mishum Keri. And he says, V'yesh Mekomot Nogin Lelech Al Hakvarot. So here he doesn't say Kivrot Tzadikim. He says, you go to the cemetery, Ulaharbot Sham B'Tachanut, and to daven there, V'nonim Stakal Aniyim, and to give stuck. All these are minhagim of Erev Rosh Hashanah. So the Mishnah Berurah, why do we cut our hair and do the laundry? So the Mishnah Berurah says, in the next source, why do we cut our hair? Laharot shanu bituchin bechasto yitbarach shiyotzi letzedek mishpatenu. To show that we are convinced, we are 100% certain that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to judge us favorably, that already we're going to go in, I guess making ourselves, I'm trying to understand this before, to make ourselves look nice in anticipation. I guess if somebody was, somebody in death row, death penalty, right, they don't care how they look, it doesn't really matter to them. But to show that we're so convinced that our judgment is going to be favorable, we already get our haircut, you know, I guess the person who's going to get out of jail is going to want to get groomed before he leaves, something along those lines.
Job interview.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you want to get we're prepared to show that we're like, knowing that you're going to get the job, right? Going to the job interview with convinced you're going to get the job. That's what we're going to Rosh Hashanah, convinced that we're going to be Yotzi Latzedek Mishpatenu. But he says, but still, and I think this also explains what we were talking about. We should not wear very fancy clothes like on Rosh Hashanah. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says here. Sorry, like on Yontif. Sorry. We should not wear on Yontif. We wear very fancy clothing. Rosh Hashanah, we shouldn't. It's like a mid-level day, I guess. We shouldn't wear such fancy clothing, but we should wear, he says, white nice clothing, quoting the Taz. You should wear white nice clothing, and in a place where you don't, people, the minhag is not to wear white, he still says you shouldn't be, I guess maybe the clothing makes you too arrogant or something along those lines, but also, what I was going to say before is that I think this illustrates, like, also, that maybe for Simchas Yontif, though, what you would do for Simchas Yontif is you would wear very, very nice clothing, right? The Rambam, I think, says you should have Simcha in the way that brings you Simcha, or certainly to get clothing for your spouse. So I think that it's saying that Rosh Hashanah you should wear nice clothing, but not like your nicest, because there's this element of Simcha, but it's not like a full fledged Simcha. That's what I think he's getting at. But yeah, what were you gonna say?
No, so that's basically saying you shouldn't really be wearing your best suit, then you say for the Yom Tovim, you shouldn't be wearing on Rosh Hashanah.
That's
that the Rosh Hashanah should be here.
Because it almost even sounds like these are a little bit contradictory. That if you're so convinced that it's gonna be Yotzi Latzedek Mishpatenu, you'd want to I actually, when I was preparing this shiur, I thought that it was even a bit contradictory. I just didn't think about it in terms of in the Mishnah Berurah itself. If we take a look in the Pnine Halacha, he quotes Kevan Shel Rosh Hashanah in Source 6 is a Mikra Kodesh Yesh Lechabdo Kefi Shemechabdim Shabbatot V'Chagim. You should do it like every other Yontif. Lehikonin Likrato B'Nikoy Abay, clean your house, Kibbutz Begadim, Rachatzat Haguf, Hachana Ma'achalim Tovim, Sidra Shulchan, and it's a mitzvah to cut your hair. If it's a regular Yontif, then yeah, you'd cut your hair and possibly you'd wear your nicest clothing also. If we're talking about how it's this Yontif, a combination of Simcha plus a Yom Hadin, then it could be that you want to wear something nice, but not too nice. Maybe also, like I said, you may be too arrogant or something if you're wearing your nicest.
It could be the time of the 19th, when the Mishnah Berurah lived. I mean, times were different then.
So, and therefore what?
So you don't take it to the extreme to make it like all the other Yom Tovim, so you back off a little bit. I mean, it still sounds contradictory, but,
Okay.
We tend to be... We live in a more affluent type of time now.
So too.
Right, then true, true. Right. I mean, I think for the Taz, where the Taz said you should wear nice white, was the problem was that everybody had their nice Yontif clothing and their white rags, and the question was, well, should you wear your nice Yontif clothing or your rags that are not very nice? And then the Taz came along and said, well, why don't we get nice white clothing? It could be a function also of the times. Maybe people could afford it. I don't really know what the 300-400 years ago. But that was his compromise between the two, was the nice element of Yontif. Also, I think, do people wear white because it's to remind of Tachrichim, of people that are buried in white? So I think that's from memory. I don't recall seeing that when I was preparing this. But that's, again, like this idea, like the white is supposed to remind a person of the Yom HaMitah, but you wear nice ones because the white is like the Yom Hadin, and the nice white is for the element of Yontif.
Well, the white would be the goat, the thing would always turn from red to white.
Okay, right, Malachim, yeah. Maybe for the next
also
week or two.
A kittel.
So some people wear, there's a minhag of some people to wear a kittel on Rosh Hashanah. I don't think that it's necessarily, I don't know if it's the most prevalent of minhagim.
What is it? Just a minhag?
It's a custom. Some people wear it. As far as I know, a lot of people don't wear it. I personally don't wear it on Rosh Hashanah. Of course, the Chazan and all the people that are, wears it. I don't know. You wear your kittel on Rosh Hashanah?
No.
So here we go. There's a minhag. Some people do. I think a lot of people don't, but it probably depends on your location. Depends on your location. Okay, the next minhag we're going to talk about is going to the cemetery to daven. So the Mishnah Berurah here points out, right? We just saw from the Rama. The Rama quoted, it's a good idea to go to a cemetery to daven on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Why? Why is that? And what do we have to be careful about? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes in Source 7, the Beit HaKvarot hu makom minuchad hatzadikim, v'hatfila nitkabla sham yoter. So it's a place where tefillot, he doesn't fully explain why, I'm not sure that I fully understand why, but a place where the tzaddikim are buried is a better place to be davening. Maybe we'll see a little bit more detail as we go forward here. But very important, al yasim magamato neged hametim. Right? You can't daven to dead people. Right? You can't be dorish elamatim. The Torah tells us you can't daven to dead people. So if a person goes to the cemetery, they have to be very, very careful to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ach yivakesh me'ashamid baruch she'itin alav rachamim bizchut hatzadikim shochnei afar v'yakif ha'kvarav v'itin staka kodim shemar tachanut. So he says that you should be careful. It's a good place to daven because it's a place that the tzaddikim are buried. So you should ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu that in the merit of the tzaddikim to grant XYZ. But he says be very careful not to daven to the dead people. Not to daven to the dead people. So there's a different reason why we would possibly, the Prima Gadim quotes it. Right, we just said that the reason is that we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to grant our tefillot in the merit of the tzaddikim that are buried there. Mm-hmm. The Prima Gadim quotes the Eliya Rabba, who says that Beit HaKvarot Makom Kadosh VeTahor. Right, it's a holy place. Right, but then in the end he says, so he quotes from a sefer that part, it's possible that when a person davens in the cemetery, they're not davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the zchut of the person buried, they're davening to the person, well, they're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they're asking the person buried to be Melitz Yosher, bring the tefillah, to give a good statement about you, to defend you. So it's not davening; it's asking for the help of an intermediary, yes. Already there's going to be questions about how appropriate, yes. About how appropriate that is. We could have a whole shiur on davening to angels. The angels are included in this, right? There's those who don't say baruchuni l'shalom. You're asking an intermediary for something. You're asking the angels to give you a bracha. They say that the machnisei rachamim. Some of the slichot are also addressed towards angels. So that is also a big question, whether one should say it or not. I think that it's reported that the Chatam Sofer would say very long Tachanun. He didn't want to tell Ishul not to do it, but he didn't want to do it himself. So he would say at the end of Slichot, he would say very Tachanun for extra long that day. So he didn't say it. But it's an interesting, very interesting question about intermediaries. And Rav Mordechai Eliyahu quotes it even more so than the Prima Gadim quotes, or the Prima Gadim kind of suggests it. Rav Mordechai Eliyahu in Source 9 says that first he says, "Umar bin b'tachanunim la'orer ta tzaddikim hakadoshim." We're davening there to inspire the tzaddikim to be melitz tov va'adenu biyom hadin. And then he also said that it's a good place to daven. I mean, this is just my own idea, but like we said before, if a reminder of the day of death is a good inspiration or a good way to give somebody a push to daven, then it would make sense on Erev Rosh Hashanah, the day when we're preparing for the end of the year, the beginning of the new year. I don't know if that's what Makom Kadosh V'Tahor, if it means something more esoteric or if it means something along the lines of a person is going to have their, you know, the right priorities or the right thoughts in the Beit HaKvarot that'll help them focus on their daving. That's my more rational approach. But that is a minhag that is a pretty widespread minhag, as far as I know, for people to go to Kivrei Tzadikim. If you could, again, like there's a lot of stuff to do in our Rosh Hashanah, but to go daven by Kivrei Tzadikim. And actually, the source is a very interesting source, which leads to the whole discussion about davening to angels, etc. The Machasid Hashaka points out that Kalev went to Maarat HaMachpelah when he was on his way to spy. Kalev, that that he should be saved from the atzat meraglim. So that's already a source, an early source of somebody going to Beit HaKvar to daven. The question, what Kalev did he daven to the Avo to be a Melitz Yosher, to ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu to help him out, or is he just, it was just a good place to go for davening, that I think is unknown, but that's our source for this. Okay, we have a few more minhagim here that we can talk about. The next one is going to mikvah on Erev Rosh Hashanah. This is also pretty prevalent, but I also think that there are people who don't go to the mikvah on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Rav Mordechai Eliyahu tells us that in source 11, Tovlin be'Erev Rosh Hashanah b'mikvah ki ha'tahara mo'ila l'shmiat tfilato shel Adam. Right, it's good to be tohor, to be pure. It helps your tfilot. And he tells us in Chaf Aleph that you should go do five dips on Erev Rosh Hashanah. And each dip corresponds to something, which, if you don't remember it, that's fine. I just thought this was very interesting. Right, you're preparing for Rosh Hashanah here, so what does Rabbi Mordechai Eliyahu tell us about these five dips that we take in the mikvah on Erev Rosh Hashanah? The first one, he says, Yichavein Bishvil HaTahara. Right, first one, you should have intention to become pure. The second one, l'tikun haka'as. When you're doing your second dip, you're and he's the one who said that you shouldn't fast if it's going to lead to ka'as on the nighttime also. So ka'as is a very bad midah, right? So you should have a kavana that the second tefillah is for ka'as. Gimel lemete kadin vagvur bechasadim, for a sweetness of judgment, and that I guess HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed should overpower. He doesn't say overpower what, presumably it should overpower his midat hadin. The fourth one is lahavir me'alav et levusha yachol. The fourth dip is that you should take off your weekday clothing. V'chavin gamkein techala shana v'kalaloteha, that the year and its curses should end. That's why we read the tochecha before Rosh Hashanah. We want the curses to all be from the previous year. We don't want the curses for the next year. So techala shana v'kalaloteha. And the fifth tovel, the fifth dip, is Likabel Kedushat Rosh Hashanah V'chavin Kamkein Techal Shana Birchotah, to be Mikabel the Kedushat Rosh Hashanah and let the new year and all its blessings begin. So this is the minhag to be Tovlan Rosh Hashanah. Again, a lot of this is connected to end of the previous year, beginning of the new year. We want the previous year to end. We want the end on a good note also, right? We want the previous year to begin on a good note. Which is, I guess, a good way of summing up Erev Rosh Hashanah, is a day where we want to try to make sure the previous year ends on a good note, and we want to start our next year on the proper footing. The final minhag, and then we have one other topic here, or two. There's two more minhagim, really, and then one other topic. If we have time, we might talk a little bit about why Rosh Hashanah is 2 days. I thought that was also an interesting thing to discuss. All the other holidays in Israel are one day. Why is Rosh Hashanah 2 days? So the Pinine Halach in source 13 tells us that the there is a minhag, Noagim Yisrael lahatir nedarim be'erev Rosh Hashanah. There's a minhag to do hatar nedarim on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Kedei lehikanes Rosh Hashanah nikiyim me'ha'avon chachamor shel nedarim. Because nedarim is very serious. We take nedarim very seriously. We want to go into the new year having annulled all of our nedarim that we forgot about, basically, right? We don't want to go into a year with something hanging over our heads. Like we said, it's the end of the previous year. You want to close what's your account? Close your books, whatever, balance sheet. I don't know what, I don't even know what these things are.
Good. Close your books.
The end of the year, you want to make sure that everything, your debits match your credits. You want to make sure your debits match your credits. So we want to close off if there was a nether that somebody took over that year. You want to make sure that it's annulled so that it's off the books. And he says there's also people who do it on Erev Yom Kippur. And then some interesting rules is that Hatar Zomo Ilal in Nedarim Sha'adam Shachach Shenadar. Hatar Nedarim is only going to work for a neder that you had forgot about during the year. Or on Hagat Tov, right? You, a good action, something that you did a few times that was a good action, a neder that you forgot about. But, and then that's what he says here also. V'chein mo'ilin l'minhagim tovim shadam nahag shalosh pamim below l'tzayin shumekayim b'li neder. If you do something something good, I don't know exactly where to draw the line here, but if you do something good without saying b'li neder three times and you don't say b'li neder, then it could be that that you were mekabel that as a minhag. So you should say Hatar Nedarim for that. But if you remember specifically saying a neder Hadar Nadarim is not gonna work for you. You would have to specify that neder in order for it to become annulled. If you took a neder,
I'm taking a neder to do X, Y, Z. Then you need a specific.
You'd have to specify.
You can do it by Taras Nadarim's. Have to specify it.
No? Yeah.
And any other Nadarim that you just sort of, you may have just adopted a minhag, not really.
Right.
Just took it upon yourself without really.
Without thinking about it, without saying bli neder, right? Yeah.
No, even without saying, right, okay.
Right.
You just done it. You just started doing it.
You just did it, right.
You intentionally did the action, but you didn't make an edit.
You didn't make an edit that you were going to do it, so you kind of turned into an edit. Atar Nadarim is going to cover that. I think if you know about that hanhaga, like if you have a specific one in mind, you probably should specify it. Should specify it also. I mean, we have a text nowadays where it's a set text, but I'm pretty sure you could. Even you're reading from your set text. What do you say? Umasim told him, and you could say in English or tell the group who's in front of you. You can tell them the specific one you had in mind. I remember one time, like 10 or 15 years ago, I was in a shul in Teaneck, and somebody, I think it was like a Friday morning, high school kids, you daven at the last minyan, and somebody was there, and he pulled three kids over. He said he like had a hanhaga tova that he was specifically doing, but he had to stop it for a reason. So he said, I need to do a Tar Nadarim for that. It wasn't on Erev Rosh Hashanah. It was on like a random Friday. This is like the catch-all. Like we want to make sure that we go into the year on the right footing. So we want to have Hatar Nadarim for everything that we forgot about. It's Pnina Elacha also quotes. It's not a real Beis Din, right? You have three people, but it's not a real Beis Din. Meaning that you Beis Din can't sit at night, but you could do Hatar Nadarim at night. A Beis Din can't have your relatives, but you could have your relatives doing Hatar Nadarim for you. It's because it's like a catch-all kind of thing to catch everything you forgot, so it works. So you could have your relatives, you could do it at nighttime. And basically, the ikr is where the dayanim say mutarlach, sharilach, macholach. Right, that's going to be the main part of it. But nowadays, we just have a sitter, so it's good to follow the sitter and good to understand what you're saying too. I'm pretty sure you can say it in English if you want to, and that's not going to get in the way of anything. So this was Hatar Nadarim. The final minhag, that's a good idea to do an Erev Rosh Hashanah from the Sefer Mikrei Kodesh that I brought in here. Be'erev Rosh Hashanah, in source 14, Tov Lachzor L'Shanim B'Fiv Tfilo to Piyutei Rosh Hashanah. It's a good idea to go over your Machzor a little bit. Look at the Davening, look at the Piyutim. Mibli L'Hazkir Shem Shemayim. If you're reading it, obviously you're not going to say Kadosh Baruch Hu's name. Amanach Yishkurim B'Fiv Yishtadil Lilmod Gamet Perish HaTfilo to Piyutim. Right? You should know it so you're comfortable saying it, so you understand the Davening. And also, it's good to teach your children for the interesting reason so that they're not going to interrupt you in the middle of Davening by asking you about the Davening and what it means and what they're saying. I guess Art Scroll largely erased some of these concerns, but even still, it's a good idea to look at the Art Scroll the day in advance or to get prepared so you understand. Piyutim tend to be very difficult. The language is very hard. There's a lot of references to Psukim and to Tanakh and to other places. It's a good idea to have some type of and it's better to do it in advance, because during davening, the best thing is going to be to listen to the Shliach Tzibur, so not necessarily to be reading the footnotes in your Art Scroll. So it's a good idea in Erev Rosh Hashanah as a day of, like we noted, Erev Rosh Hashanah is a day to prepare for Rosh Hashanah. One of the acts of preparing for Rosh Hashanah is not just cutting up your new fruit, but is looking through the davening to make sure that it's fluent. Okay, we have a few more minutes left. So I thought it was interesting to talk about why Rosh Hashanah is, in fact, 2 days in Israel, if the usual rule is that things in Israel are 1 day. So I have from two different chapters in Pnina Halacha. We'll try to go through at least some of it. He says, "Kedei lahavin," in source 15, "et ha'inyan hatzorech levar shekol ha'chagim tulim b'chodesh ha'ivri." So first of all our holidays are set on the Hebrew calendar, shenikva al pi machzor ha'yareach, right? The Hebrew calendar is lunar. Right, on Rosh Chodesh, the moon is very, very small. Kikavdak. On Rosh Chodesh, the moon is very small. V'hi holechet v'gadla ad emsa chodesh, and it gets bigger and bigger until the middle of the month. Sha'az halavana niri b'milu'a, where you have a full moon is the middle of the month. Igul shalem. And then b'machatzit hashniya shel chodesh halavana holechet u'midma'edet ad shevasov chodesh ne'alam me'ineinu l'chalutin l'meshach yasrim barbashar. Right, and then from the 15th of the month to the end of the month, the moon gets smaller and smaller and smaller until we hardly see it. La'achar mikein he shuv chozer leherot kikavdak, and then it reappears, and that's when Rosh Chodesh is. U'v'chach machil chodesh chadash. V'amitzvah hi sheyavo edim sheroo b'lal shloshim et heyarech ha-chodesh. Right? Molad. What's molad? The molad is the moment that the moon goes from being nothing to now starting to get bigger. That's what the molad is, right? They announced the molad. That is going to be what he says here. Mitzvah sheyavo. The edim are going to come and they're going to say that we saw that sliver or the tiny drop of, and that's going to be Rosh Chodesh. V'ya'idu akach b'fnei beistin. V'as mach edutam beitin yikadesh et ha-chodesh. And based on what they testify, beitin is going to be mekadesh ha-chodesh. Kevan she'orech machzor erech kesrim v'tisha yamim v'chetzi. But because the going in the circle, what's the name for it? Isn't there a name for the, I'm blanking on this, the cycle, maybe the lunar cycle, is that the way, right? It's going to be, it's 29 and a half days. Sometimes the Edim are going to come on the 29th day. Sometimes they're going to come on the 30th day because it's not an exact science. It's there's fractions involved here. Okay. So, now what happens? B'chodshim shebehem chalim ha-chagim, miyad l'achar shebeitin haya mekadesh et ha-chodesh. So once Beitin is mekadesh ha-chodesh, the shalichim go out to all the places. And the problem was in Chutzlars, right, the shalichim wouldn't reach. So Chutzlars had to do 2 days misafik because they would not know. But in Yerushalayim, they would know. For sure in Yerushalayim, most of Israel, they would know too. So now, yeah.
The Moed, so you're saying the Moed is when it first begins. Right. That's actually before then Rosh Chodesh. Or is that actually Rosh Chodesh?
So I don't know enough about this. It could be, I mean, a lot of times they announce the Moed that's not on the day of Rosh Chodesh, and that could be connected to that we have a set calendar. I don't know enough about. I think the Kahati in the introduction to maybe Rosh Hashanah, he goes through, as I remember, a good introduction to this. I'm just going to guess that the Molad is in fact the exact moment, but we don't have a system where Edim are coming to testify. We're going on a set calendar, which is what he's going to tell us in a few paragraphs. So that's why the Molad is going to, it could be after Rosh Chodesh, it could be before Rosh Chodesh.
Could be after Rosh
Chodesh? I think so. Moment? I think there was a time since we made Aliyah where there was a very... Somehow the Molad was Shabbos morning after, at a certain time, that was during davening.
Is the day Rosh Chodesh Dormant? Or because the first day is not really Rosh Chodesh.
Well, I guess, it is, right.
It's really the last day of the prior month.
Right, so I don't know. I don't know. Would have to do some more research on this. To do more research on this, I don't know. So he's gonna say. So hold on. So why is Rosh Hashanah different than everything else? Rosh Hashanah is different than everything else because Rosh Hashanah itself is on Rosh Chodesh. Okay. So there's gonna be here. He says on the top of page 4, Rosh Hashanah hu chag ha'yachid shachav Rosh Chodesh. V'lechein gam b'rachavei ha'aretz lo yachlu ladat ematayu chag. Right, in a lot of Israel, nobody's gonna know when Rosh Hashanah is because even for the if it takes 24 hours to get or to get to a far part in Israel, people in Israel are not gonna know when Rosh Hashanah is.
Even in Yerushalayim.
Yerushalayim, you're not necessarily gonna know.
See, if the Eidim don't see until 9 p.m. That right. Means retroactively.
That right, day, right. He's going to say he's going to talk about that also, which is going to be why in all, even in Yerushalayim, there's always going to be 2 days of Rosh Hashanah because it could be that it could even be that the second day that especially based on our set calendar now, I guess even before then, Chazal were not sure. I think what would happen was they were not sure, so they would say the first day would be. I don't know if they work like this for all of Rosh Chodesh too, but they would say the first day is Rosh Hashanah or Rosh Chodesh unless the Edim. They would say it, and if the Edim came that day, then retroactively, that would have been the only day. I think even in Yerushalayim, that would have been the only day. But if they came at the end of that day, or they came for the next day, then even in some years in Yerushalayim they would have had 2 days, because the first day Chazal would have said today is Rosh Hashanah because they knew when to expect the new moon. And if no Edim happened to have come and the Edim came and they said the next day is Rosh Hashanah, then even Yerushalayim had 2 days of Rosh Hashanah that year. So because of that, and we have minhag avotinu biyadenu, that kind of idea, we're going to even have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. But there are some rishonim, and we do not pass on, there are some rishonim who go as far as to say as there's 1 day of Sukkot and 1 day of Pesach. I think the Baal HaMor says this. I think 1 day of Rosh Hashanah too. There are some rishonim, and I think one of the rishonim, if I'm not even mistaken, even says that in Israel that was the minhag even. Up until when he was familiar with that, the minhag was to have 1 day of Rosh Hashanah. That he even testifies that they had the minhag, but nowadays that's not the case. So we largely said over what the Pinin Halacha talks about here, that Rosh Hashanah is different because of the Rosh Chodesh. And he says is that just like everything else, the tzad ha'ilchati toim et tzad ruchani, right? Once Chazal are saying that it's Rosh Hashanah, then it's going to have all the status of, it's going to have the full status of Rosh Hashanah. It's not going to be just a half day of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah misafek. It's a full day of Rosh Hashanah. And he quotes at the end, he quotes, I didn't put this in, we'll do the last paragraph in a second, but he quotes from in a footnote that 2 days of Rosh Hashanah from the Zohar, that the first day is the day that's stronger, and the second day is the day of weaker, meaning it's possible that Al-Kapi Kabbalah or something along those lines, both days of Rosh Hashanah, right, they're both are real days of Rosh Hashanah, but they have differences. I think one of the things he quotes is, we daven for 1 day maybe for God's kingdom over the world, and the other day we daven for worldly affairs. Those are two separate. I thought that was also a very nice idea, and that kind of fits in with the day of Rosh Hashanah. A lot of times we think of Rosh Hashanah as a day of begging for asking for what we want, asking for tshuva, etc. But he says at the end here, Efshar lomar she'igar tefilat ha'yom harishon mechavnot el inyanei haklal. Oh, this sorry. This, so Rosh Hashanah is about davening. It's not necessarily davening for your personal needs. It's davening based on various shirim that I had heard from YU, and based on I brought the sefer last week, the Rav Amital's sichot on the sichot and on Rosh Hashanah. That Rosh Hashanah is a day of davening we're accepting God upon ourselves, and we're anointing God as the King of the world. That's a king needs a people, so Kviyachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs people too, needs a nation. So when Rosh Hashanah, there's a lot in Rosh Hashanah about God's kingship, because one of the main themes of the day is accepting God's kingship over the world. And then the second part is that davening in plural, davening for worldly affairs, not as personal a day as some people would think. But that is something hopefully we'll talk about next week. We'll talk about that for a few minutes. So again, next week, this was the customs. We talked about a lot of minhagim here, customs on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Next week, we're hopefully, Bezrat Hashem, going to talk about shofar blowing, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about the nature of the day of Rosh Hashanah, which is probably connected to shofar blowing also, so hopefully we'll get to talk about that, and the week after we'll talk about Yom Kippur.